Acts chapter 22, as we continue here, taking a look at the salvation and conversion of Saul, or Paul, and his call to the ministry. And here we spent last time taking a look about this just one that's mentioned here in chapter 22 into verse number 14, and referenced and closed with that scripture in Romans, that Jesus Christ is the justifier of His people. He's the justifier of sinners, and it is by Him, it is Him who has justified you and I that have been saved. He has justified us. We had nothing with it. That's part of the grace of the Lord and salvation. He's made it that as I stand before God, you that He saved, as you stand before God, it's as if you never have sinned. You've been made just. You've been justified. And so it's like because of the righteousness, we mentioned about that, the righteousness, our justification is a test of our righteousness. If we are justified by the Lord, it's only because we have the righteousness of Christ. Because when the Lord sees the righteousness of Christ, He says, "My son has paid it all." Now, if we have self-righteousness, our own works, our own way, our own salvation, there's no justification, is there? Because when the Lord looks on at that, He says, that falls short of the righteousness of My Son. And so, the just one there, Ananias speaking to Paul, or Saul, and in verse number 12, we pick it up. And one Ananias, a devout man, and Paul is telling this. He's recounting this. Remember, he's at Jerusalem. He's been beaten. They want to kill him, the Jews that are there. They're very zealous. He says, "I know how you feel. I've been in your shoes. I know the zeal that you have for wanting to stand for the truth of the Lord. But listen. It's salvation through Jesus Christ, this one of Nazareth, this Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Savior, and He is the fulfillment of that scripture you claim. It said, I was in that same boat with you." And remember, he's there, he's bid the centurion, "Let me speak to them." He's speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue. And as he gives this account of his salvation, in verse 12, he tells about Ananias, a devout man according to the law, he mentions to them. He said, "You would approve of Ananias." When you take a look at Ananias and you take a look at the law, he's devout. He kept it. And so he interjects that there, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there in Damascus. "He came to me," verse 13, "and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him." Saul, having been stricken blind by the vision of the Lord and the Lord appearing unto him. Verse 14, "And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will," number one, "see that just one," number two, "and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth." And as we've mentioned several times, that's what we desire for those that are even here tonight and not say. Verse 15, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." You're going to be a witness to all men. The Lord's going to take, and He has worked with the church. We've seen some of those accounts about how the Lord sent Philip and he preached to the Samaritans. How about those that were half-breeds or some mixed Jewish and some Israelite and some not, some Gentile. How the Lord sent Peter unto Cornelius, and how the Lord worked and saved a full-blown Gentile in his house. The Lord's worked with the church there, and He showed them that Gentiles are going to be saved. But now He's taken this apostle, this calling of this man, to make him an apostle to the Gentiles. He's got a mission for him, and that's what He says, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen, of what thou hast seen and heard." He's going to go, Paul, as his custom was, when he would enter into a city, he went to the synagogue and he preached to the Jews. He didn't exclude them. And if they received it, great. And if they rejected it, great. Because then, once he had dealt with them, he would turn to the city and preach to all men. And it was always so that as he preached, there would be proselytes. There would be those that maybe were part Israeli and part Gentile. Remember Titus? His father was a Greek. He heard, and he was saved. And so this is what he was called to do, to preach and to witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Ananias says, and Paul recounting this, okay, remember that, Paul is telling it again, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Why do you laugh? Oh, Campbellite. That's kind of a slanderous term, isn't it, Campbellite? But they do. They follow after the doctrine of Alexander Campbell, don't they? And we want them to be saved. But listen, one that's following after Church of Christ doctrine cannot be saved.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. Now, I don't mean any ill towards them. I don't mean to run them down. But if you believe that doctrine, if you believe and follow and pursue after the doctrine of that church, they do have assemblies. They're not the Lord's assemblies. But if you follow after that doctrine, you are not going to be saved. Now, am I saying that there aren't folks that maybe are connected up or hooked up or try to worship in Church of Christ churches that are not saved? Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. But I say if you follow after that doctrine, if you follow after the doctrine of Alexander Campbell, you are not saved. Because it's not the doctrine of the Lord. I asked a fella here recently when we went out on visitation, and he's claimed to be a Church of Christ, and I asked him some things that I had found out from another brother at a meeting who has a lot of family that are Church of Christ, and that believe in baptismal regeneration. That's the subject here, is that when one is baptized, they're saved. That completes or adds to or finalizes or makes them saved. And maybe you all know him, Brother George Kelly, out in California, pastoring out there in the L.A. area, in the Orange County area. Maybe not Orange County, but he pastors out there in the L.A. area. And he has some family that he was visiting. And one of his kin had died. And Brother George has been pastoring and preaching for years. And so he asked some of his relatives. He asked him, he said, "Now that so-and-so is dead, where is he? Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." "So what do you mean you don't know?" "Well, he was baptized, wasn't he?" "Yeah, he was baptized. But he hadn't been to services in a while, and he hadn't taken to the Lord's Supper. He hadn't taken a communion." "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah. And he hadn't been to the services in that. And I just don't know." Oh. So now, there it is with a brother, firsthand with his family, and that made another question that I asked a man here locally that claimed to be Church of Christ. And again, it's not a thing about running them down. It's a thing about understanding the truth from God. Because a soul on its way to hell is on its way to a terrible, terrible, terrible destruction. And the thing is it's not a game. Amen. It's not a game that's being played. It is serious. It's eternally serious. And so I asked this fellow about that, about partaking often of the Lord's Supper. And he said he wouldn't commit either way. That just baptism does it. But there's got to be obedience too. And I tell you what, I believe in sanctification and obedience to the Lord. But salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the water. It's not in the water. It's because, as we've seen on Sunday mornings, because of the gospel and the resurrection. And baptism represents the resurrection of Christ. It represents the burial and the resurrection of Christ. It represents our burial, our death and burial to self and sin and the world, and a raised to new life in Christ because of Him and because of what He's done, not what we've done. And we, in baptism, we identify with Christ. Say, "Yes, I needed Him to die for me. Yes, I needed him to bleed for me. Yes, I needed him to be buried for me. Yes, I needed him to raise from the dead. Otherwise, I'm lost. I'm gone. There's no hope for this wretched sinner's soul if Christ did not fulfill the gospel for me. Amen. For me, not us. It applies to you in your seat with your soul, but relative to this soul and this sinner, I needed Christ to do it for me. Because without it, I'm done. And so here's a passage. Here's a passage that Paul telling about Ananias and what he says, and that many take and claim that baptismal regeneration, that there's salvation in the water, that this is the one that they use. But the thing is as we go to the Scripture and as we consider the Scripture, can we take one verse and ignore others? We can't do it. Scripture needs to interpret Scripture, amen? And so let's go back. Let's just go take a look at a few things here and just deal with this. We don't need to be afraid of any passage. We need to be grounded and settled in the truth of God's Word so that any of us can take the Scripture and be able to show someone that's misguided, that doesn't understand what the truth is. And if we can't, we need to get in a shape to where we can. And if we can't understand and we can't grasp a hold of it, then maybe we need to take a look inwardly and see if we're saved. So, Brother Jim, why would you cause doubt to somebody not being saved that claims to be saved? Listen, the death of a soul and going into hell and perdition forever is a serious, serious thing. It is most serious. It is of the most grave thing that a person has to deal with is the salvation of their soul and their eternal place and eternal state. You've got to deal with that now. Because a misplaced hope in something or some self-righteousness or in anything or anyone but Jesus Christ, the soul will be lost. Forever. It's real. It is so very real. Well, here in Acts chapter 9, let's take a look and see the original account and how Luke gives and tells and what's said here by Ananias. We don't doubt what Paul has said, but there is context of this passage along with the other passages that exist. So let's take a look at that. In chapter 9, verse number 18, verse 17, Acts 9, verse 17, Ananias went to his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. He was baptized out of obedience, wasn't he? He had been saved by the Lord. And Ananias came to him that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord was working that way. It doesn't happen that way now. I believe that when a sinner is saved, that the grace and the working and the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit of God that comes within them and arrests them and comes upon them and grants them faith and grants them repentance. I mean, that's the way it is. We're dead men, aren't we? It's the Spirit and power of God that causes us to go from being blind to where we can see. Where we don't hear, we're dumb, we're deaf. And we go to hearing because of the Spirit of God. And so that Spirit dwells within. I believe what one gains now from the standpoint of baptism and joining and enjoining the Lord's kind of New Testament Baptist church is that additional work of the Comforter. That Spirit, Holy Spirit work of the Comforter that Jesus promises to the church. And we can learn a certain amount outside the church, but we can learn more within the church. Because there's doctrine that's given to the Lord's church. That's the reason the epistles are written to the churches. The epistle to the church of Ephesus is not written to other denominations. It's written to the Lord's church. And so on with the other epistles. And so we continue on here and take a look over here in chapter 16. Let's take a look and just at some of these occurrences and things that are mentioned. Look what's preached in Philippi. And look what's given in Philippi by this same man that said these words there at the castle of the centurion, of the Roman guard, of the Roman soldiers there on those steps. Listen to what he preached in Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer being touched by the Lord and the testimony of these men that are there. In verse number 30, it says, "And this man, this jailer, brought them out. He feared for what he saw, and he was going to kill himself." And they stopped him. They said, Paul and Silas said, "No, don't do that." And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house, and be baptized too," to finish it off. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. Because it's in Jesus. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake. What's it say there? "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord." They tell him about service of the Lord. They tell him about the church. They tell him about how it should be that he would follow the Lord. They tell about the pattern and the example of the Lord. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and so all that were in his, and to all that were in his house," verse 33, "and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." They were saved. And then when they were instructed, isn't that what the commission is? Preach to them, baptize them, teach them the all things? Yes. And that's what happened there. Same pattern, same thing. And he was saved when he believed. And this is what the apostle preached. In chapter 24 of this same book, of Acts chapter 24, we kind of fast forward here from the account that we're dealing with. And look what Paul preaches to Felix. In chapter 24, verse 22, I trust this is familiar with you, and verse number of chapter 24, verse 22, "When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister unto him. For after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And Paul reasons of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come." That's what he preached to him. About the righteousness of Jesus and how we don't have it, and how we need that imputed righteousness of the Lord. How that we are sinners indeed, and we need our sin imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of self-control. We do need to be temperate, because we walk before a holy God that's given us life. We're responsible to Him. And the Lord, in a sense, is, He's forbearing, isn't He? Because, oh, if the glory and power of the Lord would be released upon mankind now, we'd be burned up from the standpoint of our wickedness and sin. But the Lord's given time for His children to be drawn to Him and be saved. Amen? He is. He is. Of righteousness, of temperance, and yes, that judgment to come. Being dipped in water won't save a man, woman, boy, or girl from the judgment to come. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus to step in and say, "I paid the debt. I paid for that child's sins. That's my child. They're mine. I bought them with a price that I paid." And so we see nothing here mentioned about baptism for salvation. What is it that the Lord came preaching Himself? Now, we've got to reconcile these scriptures, because we can't just take one scripture and run off with a doctrine. And I know that there are, I heard a man say that. He said, you can't build a doctrine just on one scripture. There are a few things that we believe that there's just limited scripture that are there and tell about it. That's the case. But here, what is it that Jesus came preaching? Mark chapter 1. I mean, I tell you what, if there's any passage for you to know and have in your mind and have in your heart and show to somebody, it's Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse number 15. Look at this. Back up to verse number 14. This is what Jesus, the Savior, this is what he came and preached. I mean, can you get any better than the author and finisher of our faith and what he says? I mean, if there's ever an opportunity to make it this sign, sealed, and delivered that baptism is a part or a piece or a finishing or has any part in the salvation of a soul, in the forgiving of a sinner, wasn't this the opportunity? In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Believe the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and your sins. And repent of them. Not itemize them. I don't even know how I've sinned against God. God's so far above and beyond me and my puny thinking, I don't even know how I've transgressed against my Creator. I can't know them all. I live, compared to the glory of God and the majesty of God and me just being a worm, I just live in my existence, especially before the Lord saved me, was just in pure ignorance. I don't even know how I sinned against it. We can't itemize them. We know some of them. The Word of God speaks to us about many of them. The main thing is I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And that sin and my iniquity and my transgression has done nothing but drive that gulf between me and my Creator. And the only one that can take care of it and bridge it is His Son.
Amen.
Repent and believe the gospel for you. Not believe it historically. Yeah, I believe in God. I believe Jesus came to save us from our sin. You want another beer? I mean, people live that way. People think that way. Amen. There's this wholesale salvation for mankind. The fatherhood of God and the sonship of man. That Jesus paid the price. And whatever it is, when it comes time for you to die, God will just make it all right. No. A man needs to see that he needs to repent, that he is guilty before God, that condemnation rests squarely upon his head. Your sin doesn't affect me. Your sin brings no condemnation for me per se. My sin's my problem. Your sin's your problem. Your spouse's sin's their problem, and your kid's sin's their problem. I needed a solution for my problem.
Amen.
And praise God, it's in His Son. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, yeah. Thank the Lord for it. Look here. Look here how it is in this same chapter, in verse number 5, at the preaching of John the Baptist. You know, when it talks about this thing of baptism, what do the other scriptures say? Here in chapter 1, in verse number 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach baptism, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That word "for," we don't need to change the scripture, but we need to understand. I wish I'd have done better in English when I was younger. If you're young, do good in English. You'll need it. But that word "for" can also be "because." For and because. They can be synonyms. And John did baptize. He was sent to baptize from God. And he preached the baptism of repentance because of the remission of sins, because of salvation. And it goes on to say here, and there went out from him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Yes, I am a sinner. They repented. Yes, I believe in this one that you're preaching about. Yes, I qualify for you to baptize me. I believe in him. I look forward to seeing him. I need him. Praise God for him. I want to identify with him. What about when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came? And John spoke and dealt with them. Boy, he was tough on them, wasn't he? You generation of vipers. Call them a bunch of snakes. You know, I don't know if I could ever have enough liberty to call people snakes. But John did. He said, "Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They weren't repentant. They wanted to get their merit badge of, and I know a fellow that says that, they wanted to get their merit badge of baptism. Get that ticked off the list. Folks out there like that, you find that in different nations too. Over in Africa, a brother that was a missionary over there for several years, he said the way that it was there in the places where they ministered, where he was a missionary in Africa, those folks would go around and they'd take on anything and everything they could get. Today they'd be a Baptist. Tomorrow they would be doing voodoo. Tomorrow they'd be doing the Church of Christ. Tomorrow they'd be doing Catholicism. They'd take everything. Because the more they got of religion, the better they estimated where they were at. No. No, it's only through Jesus, isn't it? And confessing their sins, John says, yes, you've got a testimony and witness of the Lord having saved you. Look over in Matthew chapter 3, same account. Matthew chapter 3. And you know what? When Matthew wrote his gospel, he had the opportunity to write something different, didn't he? From the human standpoint. Something different than John Mark wrote. But what did he write? And we know it's under the inspiration of the Lord. And praise God for it. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Salvation didn't save them. The Lord Jesus Christ did. And they're looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and him saving their souls. Look at Mark chapter 16. Again, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it is from the Lord. All the Scripture is from the Lord. But I tell you what, I love the quotes of what he said. Amen? I like hearing what he said. And all of it's right. All of it's from the Lord. All of it is really quoted from him. But here we see this, and look what he says here. Yet, in the beginning of Mark, this is another one. Get it down. Get it down so you can show somebody. There in the first chapter of Mark, what the Lord comes preaching. Repent and believe the gospel. And then here in the end of the book of Mark, what's he say? Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, the Lord Jesus Christ did, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, the Great Commission. Preach the gospel to every creature, because that's what it's going to take for him to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Doesn't say not baptized. It says faith. Faith. Repentance and faith is always implied. It's always implied by the Scripture. It says to believe, repentance is implied. It says to repent, faith is implied. It's all part and parcel of it. Just like the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is all implied by the gospel. All are essential. All are necessary. All are part of the way and plan and purpose and working of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We've got the example of the thief on the cross. And to believe in baptismal regeneration, boy, I tell you what, you got to contort, jump through hoops on fire with your eyes closed to get that man on the cross saved. But the Lord told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He couldn't work a work. Couldn't do a thing, could he? Couldn't go to church. Couldn't go be a disciple for 3 years. Couldn't go do anything, could he? But what did the man say? Lord, remember me. That's all he said. Lord, remember me. You know, it's sure not about what we've done, is it? Because that's what it is. I need the Lord to remember me when I die. Because you know what? It don't mean a lick about how much I love God. And I love the Lord. I love Him. But if the Lord hadn't got a hold of you, it don't matter a lick what we claim that we've got a hold of God. You hear? It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And may the Lord help that we know that and see that. In 1 Peter chapter 3, another passage that's used. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 15, we pick it up. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asking you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's not talking about going and get the preacher. But it's talking about you give an answer. You give an answer. You and I give an answer just like Paul's given an answer. They're on the steps of the castle after they've beat him and they've tried to kill him. He says, can I speak to the people? Will you let me speak to the people? Be ready to give that answer. An answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You're doing right. But there's folks out there telling lies on you. Keep on doing right. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on looking to the Lord and know that the Lord never changes. You know, folks can be fickle, can't they? People can be fickle. But the Lord's not fickle. He's the same. He's the same. Do right and do right. Whereas having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's His example, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also He went and preached in the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. God was sick and tired of the sin of man when He told Noah to build the ark. But He waited some 125 years before He meted out His judgment, didn't He? Why? Because there was 8 souls that He was going to save. 8 souls He was going to save. And see, so He did forbear, didn't He? He put up with it, so to speak. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto that even baptism doth also save us. Now let's skip past just what's mentioned there. We're going to deal with it there inside the parentheses. But let's read it again. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Now let's read the whole thing with the commentary or the extra thought in there. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, like taking a bath. That's the way I see it. But the answer of a good conscience towards God. Just like eight souls, as it said, were saved by water. This antitype, now that's what that word like figure whereunto is talking about. It's a symbol, a type. We're in like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Well, we can't take baptism and it's not talking about baptism saving our souls, is it? Because the scripture we've looked at, many scriptures that say that Jesus is the Savior of our soul. But the verse before says that eight souls were saved by water. Were they out there floating around in the water? Bobbing around for a year? For the biggest chunk of a year in the water? No, they were in the ark, weren't they? Yeah, they were in the ark. And who was it that told Noah to build the ark? God. Who was it that blessed Noah to build the ark? God. Who was it that gave Noah three sons to help him build the ark? God. And when it came the day, what happened? Genesis chapter 7. Take a look over here. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. Don't you know it was kind of tough to watch them rattlesnakes get on there? Or those asps? But the Lord was in control of it. Whoo-wee. And the Lord brought them. Noah didn't go out and get them. The Lord brought them. And every fowl after his kind, every bird after every sort, of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. If Noah would have closed up the door and shut himself in, the thing would have leaked and it had never got off the ground. But the Lord, through means, used his man and used his family and prepared that ark and blessed it, brought the animals, and told Noah when to get in. And the Lord shut the door and sealed him in. And then that ark was bore up on that water, wasn't it? It was bore up on that water. Back in 1 Peter. Verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20, which sometime were disobedience when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto, the like type, the like symbol, even baptism doth also now save us, not by cleaning up this body, not by washing away our sins, literally, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, identifying with Jesus Christ and what He's done by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Baptism shows the picture of the salvation of the Lord. That's it. That's it. It shows that we have died. You know what? When we say that we need salvation, that yes, I'm a sinner, when we repent before God, we are repenting that death and sin and wickedness reigns in us. Rather than denying it, rather than pointing to somebody else and say, they're worse than I am, we say, no, I'm guilty. I'm guilty and I deserve what I got coming. And then the Lord gives us faith. And we are made alive, aren't we? The light shines. The light shines in our heart, and we are taken from darkness to light. Just like Noah and his family and those animals were in the ark and were raised up on that water, the like type, the antitype, is that baptism shows what's already happened within us. The salvation and the rescue of God was provided by the ark. The water is that made it float. If there'd have been no ark, there'd have been no float, and there'd have been death. Baptism shows that we need Christ, that we have Christ, that Christ has us, and is a witness of those things that have already happened. Here in verse 21, this word baptism, and this is just something that I'm thinking about and can chew on, I'll just share it with you in that light. But in verse number 21, the like figure whereunto, even baptism. In the Greek, this word is baptisma. Baptisma. Where when you're talking about baptism in the Scripture, it's baptizo. Baptizo. The actual baptism, the actual putting down in the water. Baptizo. But this word here is baptisma. And what I'm considering and praying about in that, and I'll submit it to you, is that what this passage is talking about and what I've explained and the way that we understand it is that the whole order and concept of what baptism is shows what's happened. Not just the dunking in the water, but the baptisma, the concept, the entire concept of baptism, that there is authority from a church, that there is a mode that the Lord has given, that there is a subject, what? That has already been saved. And the purpose of it is to show what's happened in that sinner's heart. That's it. This is talking about the concept of baptism and all it represents and all the pieces and parts of it, that it shows what's happened to the sinner and the submission of the sinner and the redeeming of the sinner. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one. And the one that we need, and I believe the one that we administer here at Olmsted Baptist Church, the one that the Scripture bears out, is that one that the Lord Jesus Christ indicated in Himself and that the church practiced from the time the Lord made His first church, from the days even of John the Baptist, but given that authority given to the church by virtue of the Lord going to John the Baptist and being baptized of him, and that's been exercised in the Lord's churches all the way down here to today. One baptism. It's not a baptism for salvation. It's a baptism because of salvation. It's not a baptism to wash away our sins, but it's a baptism to show that our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. And praise the Lord for it. Back in Acts chapter 22, so now I trust when you take a look at this passage and consider that and consider these scriptures, we've got to take everything and look at it together before we arrive at an opinion. And in verse number 16, and Ananias there, Paul telling about, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul wasn't saved by being baptized. He was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ saving his soul, wasn't he? And he was obedient to baptism to show what the Lord had done for him. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. You need Him as your Savior. And you need to repent of your sins and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where salvation is. It's not in a plan. It's not in a series of steps or whatever. It's found in the God-man, Jesus Christ. Submit to Him on His terms and His way. We that are saved, we need to understand the salvation that we've been saved with. Amen? We need to be able to go to the Scriptures and be able to tell it and convey it to others. We need to be able to have the Scriptures within us and be prepared with the Scriptures so when error is presented that we can give an answer to the truth. Because there's all of us have folks that the rest of us can't reach. And we're the Lord's means to carry the truth to them.